Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ready? Well, good morning, everyone. I presume you were listening for Sam Bushman. And this is a different voice. I presume Sam will join us very shortly, but welcome to the broadcast on tax day, April 15th, 2024. It's one of those things that weighs heavily upon Americans each year at this time of the season. And I presume to get your taxes ready this morning. Is that correct? It's something that probably ought to be on. It probably ought to be on your mind as we begin this 15th day of April.
I already filed my taxes a long time ago, Doctor.
Oh well, did you? You're Johnny on the spot on everything, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, hope you're all doing fantastic. I've paid my taxes, even though I think they're absolutely criminal and unconstitutional. The bottom line is, it's just not a hill I'm willing to die on, Doctor.
Well, I understand very clearly what you're saying. I mean, we got lots of battles to fight, people will probably take offense at that. There are skirmishes of challenges, of philosophies and principles and all those kinds of things that we face. And I think that sometimes the big hammer comes down on your head for picking the wrong fights. We don't have enough friends in our camp of seeking constitutional principles.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
And so, yeah, they take them out one at a time for things where an individual, I know one individual, for example, this was probably close to 30 years ago, decided that he was going to untax. That's what they were calling it in those days. Maybe they still do. But I think he had 8 or 9 kids, I don't remember. But at any rate, he was pretty militant, belligerent, in-your-face kind of thing, very vocal about what he was doing and all this kind of stuff. Big hammer came down on him. He said, send me to prison. I'm willing to go. They said, well, your wife's going too. He says, what do you mean? Well, you filed jointly the things you'd done before. This must be a partnership you got going, so she's going to jail too. And he says, wait. What about my kids? They said, well, I don't know. You're going to have to make other arrangements. And suddenly he became very compliant. He rolled over on everything, and he went silent for 30 years in terms of the cause of liberty. And there's a lot of things that needed to be done in those 30 years. So I think we got to pick our battles to some degree. I mean, we don't do nuclear war at this time, but we try to promote the principles through education. We try to gain understanding with the things that we were granted at such great cost. And as our friendships grow and our understanding grows, I think that we'll be able to probably begin to roll back the tyranny that seems to be flowing over America at this time. So I don't know. I mean, I mentioned that tax day thing just simply because it's looming heavy over everybody. And if you haven't done it yet, it's going to be a quick study today, I'm afraid. So, I don't know. You say you've already
you got
filed
that
those
right. And I just talked to a dear buddy of mine, Ken Cromar, from prison yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And this is a hill that he and his wife do believe that they need to, you know, die on. I don't want to say die physically. When I say a hill you die on, it means you lose, you die physically, you lose your life, whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah,
and I bring this up because it is a hill that he feels like he needs to die on. And I'm not here to debate what hills everybody needs to choose. I'm just here to say, as for me and my house, it's not a hill I'm willing to die on. Hey, you guys can fleece me and steal my money for my whole adult working life, 50 years, whatever it ends up being at the end of the day, and 60 years or whatever. And, you know, I'm just going to simply pay the piper because I believe that I can do more for the sacred cause of liberty by being on the radio, by running events like we do, like doing all the things that I do for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, all that I do for the radio network and all that I do for liberty, public speaking on the Constitution. And I believe I can do more for liberty that way than I can by, say, fighting that battle and going to jail, losing my house, losing everything that I have, losing the best years of my life, being torn away from my family and all these kind of things. That's just my opinion. And I get that everybody has their own views and their own preferences and decision-making, and they can tap into God's guidance just as well as I can. And so I'm not here to speak for others or down other people's choices, but I talked to Ken, and he, you know, he's positive, and he believes that what he's doing really, really, really matters, and it really is the key to the, you know, he believes that he's on the brink of winning, and I pray that he's right. I think that he's been completely wronged. Doesn't change the fact that he's gone. He's in prison. He's missing his wife. And it's really hard to fight for liberty. Now, he is doing a great work of missionary work, though, teaching about Christ in prison, and I got to commend him for that, too. So, again, we all kind of pull, I don't know what you want to say, pull the cart in the right direction the best we can to the best of our own understanding, and that's what it is. But I would encourage people to pay their taxes, not to not pay their taxes. I'd encourage you to pay your taxes and find different ways to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. That's just my view, Doctor. You want to respond to that a little bit?
Well, sure. I mean, let's dial it back a little bit. I mean, you know, for many years you've mentioned that you've been in radio, and there's all sorts of unconstitutional licensure and intervention that happens at the federal level that is totally wrong. And I know you've been crosswise with them occasionally because I think they've gone after you about some stupid idiot issue about a fence one time some years ago, and the fines and the harassment and everything like that. And you know, you fought it through the system and you won, okay? But had you just said, oh, to heck with you, I'm not going to do this, you would have been unable to share your voice about liberty for more than a quarter century. And so, you know, you kind of say, okay, well, I'll pay your extortion for this, but I'm still continuing to fight the battle of liberty. So, I mean, that's just one example about sometimes we can take ourselves out of the fight just because we are determined that what's happening is completely wrong, which it is. I mean, the things that you went through on that, albeit minor comparison to what Ken Cromar is going through.
Uh-oh, are you still there, Doctor? Liz? Am I live, Liz? All right, I'll stay live, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Liz goes ahead and figures out what's happening with the good doctor. We're having a little bit of glitches today. I don't know what really the cause is. I am on the road because I'm in Las Vegas getting ready for our incredible event. As I speak of events and speaking and all that I do for the sacred cause of liberty, I'm just telling you what I believe to be the most important. And Dr. Bradley is exactly right on this. You know, but I think it's the response that we have, and we'll ask Dr. Bradley about this when he gets back. It's the response that we have to the things that we face that I think sometimes can make something catastrophically or catastrophic meltdown, or if it turns out fine. So I got attacked back in the day over radio. They said my tower had a fence that fell down, and they said that I willfully violated the FCC rules, which was a lie. I didn't willfully violate them. It just turns out somehow that the FCC found out my tower was down before, or my tower fence was down before I did. And I basically did my best to get it fixed and to show them proof of fixing it, and I didn't willfully violate anything. And so they were wrong, and they wanted to fine me thousands of dollars. At the same time, the USDA came after me, said you can't live in the house that you're trying to buy from another person. You've got to leave that house, which I did, and lost like 30 grand over the whole unfair, dishonest deal. While that was all happening, the USDA attacked me, the FCC attacked me, and the IRS attacked me all at the same time. And my responses to those things, I believe, was the key to my success. Number one, I was patient. The Lord sent me an attorney that was just a blessing and a half who beat the FCC for me. Instead of $7,000+ for that singular example, he beat him for $700, and he's a dear friend of mine to this very day as a result. So, Dr. Bradley, what I was saying to your comments, you know, it's a striking difference between my situation and Ken Cromar's and the example that we're talking about, and I'm mentioning that I think it's the responses that I think are the big difference. So the Lord sent me an attorney. I prayed hard, and the Lord sent me an attorney that beat the FCC for me. I then moved out of the house and lost 27 grand. That's all true, almost $30,000. But I, you know, worked hard, and me and my wife worked hard, and we got up on our feet for that and got away from the USDA. And then from the IRS, I basically settled with them and said, okay, I'm not debating that I owe it. Fine. And I paid them for like 2 years monthly. I just said, look, you guys complain about this. I don't have the money. I never got money, even though you say that I owe. I traded some stock for some other stock, or some. I traded some land for some stock. And they're basically like, hey, that, you know, you made money. Well, I never got any money, so I can't give you money that I never made. Anyway, long story short, it was my response to that. I eventually filed for an abatement back. I tell you all that because there's a lot going on. We'll talk about it more in seconds with Dr. Bradley on...
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties. Thanks for your patience. So I was basically saying it's our response to a lot of the times when we get challenged by government for things. That's why you've got to really kind of think in advance and pray and get guidance from God Almighty to say, you know, what hills should I, you know, be willing to die on? Doesn't mean you're going to die. It just means which ones am I willing to take all the way to the mat is another way to say it. I used to be a wrestler, and so that's the term I use. You know, which ones are you willing to get knocked down in the ring for, knocked out? You know, which ones are you willing? And so the FCC was not one. I basically got that resolved. The USDA was not one. I got that resolved. The IRS, look, I literally, made a deal with them, paid them every month for a couple of years, and I eventually filed for an abatement, which most people don't know exists. And an abatement means, you know what, if they agree with you, you get money back. They actually wrote me a check back, and they haven't bothered me ever since. And so, Doctor, I think it's our responses that matter.
Well, it is. And again, you've made the point fairly well about the, you know, which hill are you going to die on? I think, and maybe this is adequate for the discussion that we've got today, but we got plenty of hills out there right now that they're trying to hang our country out to dry on. If we get half a chance with most of the people that are in the House and the Senate right now, we're going to be in war with Iran here pretty quick over Israel kicking over the hornet's nest on some stuff they blatantly took an effort to expand. I think they're just dying to get us into a war. And they're doing whatever they can to precipitate it, and they're going to say, oh, an unprecedented attack on Israel. Really? What precipitated that? Well, nobody's talking about the attack on
a sovereign diplomatic location in a third country that was precipitated by Israel, and they get, and I think Iran is trying desperately to not have this thing go over the top and cause America to get involved. But Israel keeps kicking the nest and kicking the nest and saying, oh, ow, ow, we're being stung. You guys better get something over here. And pretty soon we could talk at length about the constitutionality of what's going on. We could talk at length about the words of the American founding fathers. We don't have a dog in this fight. It's not our fight, but it's going to be our fight because of the leadership of the nation. And I think that we have an undying devotion to Israel. There isn't even a treaty, I don't believe, that would say anything. The treaties shouldn't take us to war. We could express our founding fathers' position on that, too, and how that is no authority to go to war either without a constitutional action by Congress. But I don't even believe we have a treaty that says that. It's a passionate attachment that makes us a slave to whatever Israel's doing over there. And I think Iran is trying desperately to say, no, we have to respond to this unprecedented attack on our embassy in Damascus, but we're trying to do it in a measured way, in a more surgical way. I'm speaking as though they were speaking, in order to keep the United States from thinking that they've got to go whole hog on it. But you listen to what our Congress people are saying. Holy cow. They're just dying to get some more Americans killed over there. It will not be our fight unless we make it so. I think
got to remember, too, I realize some of the abuses back and forth. If you just take a snapshot of something and look at the, you know, whatever happened in a small snapshot, it looks like this group or that group is very, very evil, and they may be. That doesn't change the fact that there's historical context that needs to be relevant, because there's all kinds of other acts by the other side that are quite evil as well. But most importantly, to understand, and this is really critical, we lack authority to breach the sovereignty of either group. Where do we seem to think we have authority, or that it's our battle, or that it's something? As wrong as those wrongs are, it's much more wrong for us to violate the sovereignty of these other countries and act like we have somehow the upper hand. Where do we think we get the upper hand? Where do we think we get this authority? Or why do we think we have to be involved? And the only excuse they say is, well, Sam, they're getting abused and hurt, and we're the good guys and we care. Well, that's fine if you want to care as an individual and put your own money into, you know, raising money to help them humanitarian-wise or whatever else, that's fine. But there is no governmental authority of any kind whatsoever, period, end of paragraph. And that's what we got to understand, Doctor.
We absolutely do. And on a much smaller scale, I mean, this could literally be World War III. I mean, and I don't overstate that at all. I mean, I'm just not using hyperbole and all this kind of stuff. But they are they're demanding that we get engaged in this whole hog, up to our neck and all that kind of stuff. It reminds me kind of the Battle of Adrang back in 1965. This was the first major exchange between the North Vietnamese and Americans, and it was a mess. I mean, and we don't need to get into this, but the fact of the matter is the U.S. we were in a really bad place. We took a lot of casualties. It was a really unbalanced kind of thing initially. We ultimately ended up winning the battle, okay? So woo, we got it. Well, the big thing about the Adrang Valley was it made it an American war. Suddenly everybody knew this was going to be America's war. The only reason we were in it was because we were slogging down through the trail ourselves. I mean, and we put ourselves in harm's way. And because, I mean, we took huge casualties, it was a real nip and tuck kind of thing. And it was ugly in every way, shape, and form. But everybody, when we got done there, knew this was going to be America's war in Southeast Asia. And it didn't need to be. It shouldn't have been, but it was because of where we put ourselves. And we put ourselves in harm's way by absolutely belligerence in every way, shape, and form. And we are slaves to Israel on this thing when it happens. And by the way, virtually every congressman and senator is in that same camp, virtually. They can't wait to get Americans killed. It's not our monkey. It's not our war. It's unconstitutional. And we are absolutely determined that we are going to go to battle on this thing, and I think it's wrong,
and I think it's a failure from our leaders, without a doubt, Dr. Bradley, but I say it's a failure from we the people, though. Any senator that backs this, any Congress critter that backs this, without a declaration of war, or without something short of that, constitutionally speaking, they need to flat out be removed from office, and we need to simply say, you will not be reelected again. And we need to make a huge enough campaign about it. You're not going to put our sons and daughters in harm's way. You're not going to borrow money we don't have and spend us into oblivion. And you're not going to violate your oath of office. Those are the three reasons that I would give. You're not doing that to us, and you're gone. And we'll find somebody who understands their oath and will keep it. We'll find somebody who understands that you just don't have the ability to spend our money carte blanche. You don't have authority for that. And you don't have authority to go into wars that are not declared or, these unfunded half the time and then forced to fund because, golly, our troops are in harm's way now. You have to, let the president take the heat if it goes bad, but get the credit if it goes good, and just simply circumvent the separation of powers in America. We're not going to let you do those things. And until the people get incensed enough to demand that, nothing's going to change, doctor.
Well, you look at the Monroe Doctrine, a very soundly founded doctrine that came out in early in the 1800s. We look at I love this quote by John Quincy Adams. He was born and bred to diplomacy. He said, America has abstained from interference in the concerns of others, even when the conflict has been for principles to which she clings. She goes not abroad in search of monsters to destroy. She is the well-wisher to the freedom and independence of all. She is the champion and vindicator only of their own. I know we're coming up on a break at the bottom of the hour, but this is a critically important thing. I think we can talk about it during the break if you want, but to tell you the truth, I think we need to spend a few minutes on what Washington said in his monumental farewell address about this specific, he didn't name countries, but this specific circumstance in which we find ourselves at this very moment, and they're beating the drums of war. I mean, there is a complete devotion, a kind of a slathering, a knee-jerk devotion to responding to something that, over history, do we want to go back to, 1947 or 48? And do we want to go back to 1967? Do we want to go back to 1973? Where in the world do you say that this religious war really began? And it's not our war. And what happened?
I
submit
to you that it's not even a religious war at this point, Doctor. I think religious is become, pardon the pun, the bastard child of this, pretending that it's that when it's not really at all. This isn't religion, and I'll tell you why. If you're truly religious, religion should bring peace and stability and safety and prosperity and all these kind of things. In the name of religion, are they exploiting that and creating wars over religion? But it's not a religious war.
Well, I think that you're right, and in so many ways, but I think Israel has made it a religious thing in the sense
that they're lying, because Israel in the Bible is the 12 tribes of Israel, and eventually in the end days there's supposed to be a gathering of Israel, not a war over this supposed boundaries drawn by governments in modern day pretending that's the godly Israel. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell.
It is, but the fact is that most Christians are of the opinion that if you're with Israel, you're with God.
But they've been lied to, and they don't understand the scriptures is the problem.
Exactly. But you look at how Moses.
We'll get into it, ladies and gentlemen, because I agree with Dr. Bradley 100%. This is vital to discuss, and we need to go soundly on the record rejecting war and following the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. That's who we are. We want to follow the Constitution, which means we don't have authority to go to war. Because there's no justification. It's an unjust, godless war, and we reject it 1,000%. We'll tell you more in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Israel vowing to respond to Iran's drone and missile attack over the weekend. An aide to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said no final decisions have been made on the type or timing of that response. In the U.S., the National Security Council spokesman at the White House says many folks failed to understand what really happened Saturday, explaining what President Biden earlier referred to as a win for Israel.
It's just an incredible military achievement by Israel and, quite frankly, the United States and other partners that helped Israel defend itself against more than 300 drones and missiles. I mean, it's just an extraordinary example of military superiority that Israel demonstrated to the whole world.
Kirby on with NBC's Meet the Press Sunday. He says the U.S. has no interest in war with Iran. The Republican chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee says Israel needs to follow up this weekend's success.
Take out the facilities where these drones and rockets came from, and also destroy the manufacturing facilities that build the drones and rockets.
Texas Republican Congressman Michael McCaul on with CBS Face the Nation. President Biden has said the U.S. will not support an Israeli counterattack. Donald Trump set to make history as the first former president to face trial in a criminal case. USA's John Schaefer has more.
Jury selection for Trump's alleged hush money case, taking place in New York City, will begin on Monday. The accusation against Trump involves falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election.
If you haven't filed your 2023 tax return with the IRS yet, most filers have until 11:59 p.m. Monday night. Some, however, get an extra day or two if you live in Maine, Massachusetts, or Washington, D.C., and that's due to observed holidays. This is USA News.
I've got a unique vacation idea for you that's right here in the United States. If you're ready for a vacation that's fun and downright affordable, listen up. It's driving distance for many of you, so no planes, no airline delays, no hassles. It's Branson, Missouri, the entertainment capital of the Midwest. Live music for everyone. Branson has three beautiful, enormous lakes, water attractions, live shows, great food, and tons of entertainment. It's a perfect vacation for you and your family, or if you're retired and you want to have a great time. And you can stay in Branson for as low as $99 a night. Please understand, this is not a timeshare offer. It's a real vacation for as little as $99 a night. We've got a free vacation guide we want to send you right now. All you have to do is call for complete details. Get your free Branson, Missouri guide right now by calling this number.
800-399-4215. 800-399-4215. 800-399-4215. That's 800-399-4215.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on the road in Las Vegas. Dr. Bradley in studio, but there's a little glitch or two with the internet. I don't know what's happening with that. Gremlins in the system, whatever you want to call it. But we're talking about this issue where over the weekend, what, Iran? Let's see, how is this? Is it Iran or Iraq, you know? Anyway, Iran, I think, basically, what, sent rockets and all this kind of stuff towards Israel. The UK and the United States shot a bunch of stuff down or did all this kind of stuff to stop it or whatever else. And now it's retaliation time, they claim, and everything else. And this is absolute disaster. These people have been warring for literally thousands of years. They want to claim it's always a religious war, but I believe that's a lie. Mutual destruction is not religion. That's just a cover for their agenda. The fact is, I don't know why we're involved at all. Our founders warned against it. Modern day, I've been warning against it. Dr. Bradley's been warning against it. Ron Paul warns against it. In fact, I don't know if you saw the General Flynn movie that just came out, Dr. Bradley, but I just watched it. And in that movie, even General Michael Flynn, who will be at our event on Wednesday, promoting his movie and promoting the value of the Constitutional Sheriff as well, he's got a premiere for his event on Thursday. And if you guys want to go see that Vegas premiere of the movie, then go to CSPOA.org and click on movie tickets and you can get those. There's two events, our event on Wednesday and General Michael Flynn's event on Thursday. Both events we're supporting 100%, but I watched that movie and he highlighted that, you know what? We've just got a war machine that's in place, and all these Congress critters just get rich on the war, and so they promote war, 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 war. And it's flat-out unconstitutional, it's immoral, and it's got to stop, Doctor.
Well, you know, we talked about where do you want to go to start where some of these acrimonious things have happened, but let's go back to 6 months ago and say that October 7th, the attack by Hamas on some places in Israel is the genesis of it. It is not by any means. The genocide actually started back in the 1930s, but let's just say it started October 7th, and Hamas out of the Gaza Strip supposedly entered areas of Israel and had 1,200 people killed. Hamas has been getting their butts kicked in Gaza. It seems to be that there's hundreds of thousands of people that have died. They claim 30 or 40,000. But 2,000-pound bombs are not a surgical weapon. There's a lot of collateral damage. And beyond that, all the infrastructure things that happen, sanitary water, food, hospitalization, sewage treatment, all those kinds of things cause all sorts of pathogens and sickness. The very young, the very old are more likely to die. They're certainly collateral, too. Okay, so that's been going on in Gaza. They've expanded to say, well, Hezbollah out of up in Syria, you know, we ought to take it out on them. So Israel's been sniping at them. And then they go to the Iranian embassy in Damascus. An embassy is considered to be a sovereign territory. So they missile strike Damascus, the sovereign territory of Iran in Damascus. And then when Iran is trying hard, it seems to me, to make this a measured response. That very, very, as much as bombs and bullets can be surgical, but they've really tried to not make this an overwhelming response. And I don't believe for a nanosecond that they shot down 99% of Iran's measured response. I don't believe that the 300 missiles and drones, or however many there were, I don't know if we're being told the truth at all. I don't believe that our missile defenses are that effective. But 99% maybe. They said as many as 99% have been shot down. They said this is an unprecedented attack on the sovereign nation of Israel. No, but what's Israel been doing with Iran for all of these years? They send jets against them to take out plants and stuff like that there. They've been doing this for decades. And so suddenly now Israel is the innocent, lily-white, standby, you know, kind of thing. All of this kind of stuff, I believe, is targeted to bring the United States into this conflict on behalf of Israel. They won't have to argue about any more big funding bills to send more weapons to Israel. We'll be in it neck deep. Now, I started to say, well, and I'm quite confident that I could take the rest of the hour, well, it's 20 minutes is all we got, talking about what the American Founding Fathers said about what we are being sucker punched into right this very moment as we speak. This is a hinge point. The only way this will become an issue for America is if America engages and puts our people in harm's way. We've already done that to a large degree. We got boots on the ground in places we deny we've got boots on the ground. There will be American casualties. I guarantee almost anything that happens is going to cost American lives. But let's go for just a minute. I wish we had 20 minutes just to read the different things the founders have said. Okay, and the nation which, in this is George Washington's farewell address, which indulges towards another an habitual hatred or an habitual fondness is in some degree a slave. It is a slave to its animosity or to its affection, either of which is sufficient to lead it astray from its duty and its interest. Antipathy in one nation against another disposes each more readily to offer insult and injury, to lay hold of slight causes of umbrage, and to the haughty and intractable when accidental or trifling occasions of dispute occur. I'm going to stop for just a second and say, what Israel did in its launch against, this was a blatant escalation of everything that's happened. I know, October 7th, horrific, horrible, bad, nasty, mean, everything. But everything that's happened after that in Israel's response has been absolutely over the top. And the civilians that have been killed, tens of thousands are admitted, probably hundreds of thousands, if you consider all of the side things of death by sanitation issues. These things are horrific. Washington went on. So anyway, they escalated it here with this Damascus embassy attack. And then when they get what I consider to be a measured response from Iran that they communicated to the Americans before, that we don't want to do anything that's going to go over the top, cause you a problem, they telegraphed their action. Israel was protected by the United States and Great Britain, apparently, with some air defense sources that I don't believe are as effective as they say they are. But now they're saying, oh, this unprecedented attack by Iran on our nation has got to be responded to. I don't know if they'll touch off a nuke or what. I don't think they will at this point. But because of all of this, and because we have been beating the war drums for so long, we are being sucker punched into this, going on with Washington. Hence, frequent collisions, obstinate, envenomed, and bloody contest. The nation prompted by ill will and resentment sometimes impels to war the government contrary to the best calculations of policy. Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit. A passionate attachment of one nation for another produces a variety of evils. Sympathy for the favorite nation facilitating the illusion of an imaginary common interest in cases where no real common interest exists, and infusing into one the enmities of the other betrays the former into a participation in the quarrels and wars of the latter without adequate inducement or justification. It leads also to concessions to the favorite nation. Okay, we're going to send bazillions of dollars. That was parenthetical. Privileges denied to others, which is aptly doubly to injure the nation, making the concessions by unnecessarily parting with what ought to have been retained, and by exciting jealousy, ill will, and a disposition to retaliate in the parties from whom equal privileges are withheld. And then this is an interesting thing, because it is absolutely being played. You have talk show hosts today that will talk this way. You listen. If you listen to anybody else besides Sam, and you turn on the lame brain media, you're going to listen to what I'm just going to say right now. It gives to ambitious, corrupted, or deluded citizens who devote themselves to the favored nation facility to betray or sacrifice the interests of their own country without odium, sometimes even with popularity. Isn't that interesting? It says, I'm just going to skip down a little bit further. As avenues to foreign influence in innumerable ways, such attachments are particularly alarming to the duly enlightened and independent patriot. Okay, now think about this. Others practice the arts of seduction, to misleading public opinion, to influence or awe the public councils. It dooms us, going on here with his, to be the satellite of the weaker nation. I maybe we can continue after the break, Sam, but I'm just almost speechless. There's so much that could be said. It hinders my ability to deliver it.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Founding Fathers had cool heads. They understood the complications, the evils of war, the idea that they drag you into war for all kinds of dishonest purposes. The military-industrial complex spending all kinds of money, promoting weapons, dividing the nation, deceiving the people, death everywhere, and destruction. Satan loves that stuff, but the followers of Christ, well, I get that we got to defend ourselves if we've truly been breached or our sovereignty is threatened and or our people, our wives and our children are in danger. I get defensive necessity. But, folks, we're not even close to that in any stretch of the imagination. We're in over 130 wars in 130 nations, militarily speaking. All of them really were violating the sovereignty of those nations. Now you say, well, some of them allow us to be there. Yeah, but if we don't have any really right to be there, just because they allow us, because they feel browbeaten by the United States, the bully of the world, sadly to say, that doesn't mean it's justifiable or right. And we have got to reject war and stand with the Prince of Peace. We have got to push for this. And I don't understand why there's not cool heads. Even General Flynn says we got to stop this stuff. This is just out of control. And he spent his time avoiding war. And what did they do? They literally lied and betrayed him and tried to put him in prison, only to find out that, hey, good people stood with him, and he's so far been able to avoid prison. But all I'm telling you is you look at that scenario and you go, even the people that try to stop it just get shut down and kicked out and destroyed and malign them. And, you know, they manipulate the media against them to the point where it's hard to even understand the truth about these people, Dr. Bradley. And so, you know, I don't know where we're headed, but I'm afraid we're headed to war. Even if this doesn't touch off a war this time, if it de-escalates a little bit, it's sure to resurface somewhere else around the world in a hot spot. And the problem is Joe going to take us to a war before the election to try to somehow put himself in a more favorable position? Is that what we're facing?
Well, it may be a case of the tail wagging the dog in this case. And in fact, I've got a great quote. I'll get to it in a minute if you want me to, about how this is always the way to distract the people in a nation. But let me just finish with just maybe one more paragraph with Washington. Then I'll go over to that because I think people need to understand this was well understood by the American founders in this idea of implementing a war to distract a people from the stupidity of the current administration has been practiced for centuries. But just one more little paragraph from Washington, then I'll forego. He's quoting again, "Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens, the jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of republican government. But the jealousy, to be useful, must be impartial, else it becomes the instrument of very influence to be avoided instead of defense against it. excessive partiality for one foreign nation and excessive dislike of another cause those whom they actuate to see danger only in one side and serve to veil and even second the arts of influence in the other, real patriots who may resist the intrigues of the favorite, in this case Israel, I put that parenthetically in case anybody's missing this, are liable to become suspected and odious. So with Sam and I talking about this, we suddenly become odious, as Washington said, going on with Washington, while its tools and dupes usurp the applause and confidence of the people to surrender their interests, end quote. So I'm here to tell you, this is where, if you tune in to any other radio stations, any other broadcasts of the big media heads, the talking heads that are out there, you're going to hear today an incessant demand. Let me just quickly give you one quote, a quotation from Madison that he gave at the convention that happened in 1787 when they were writing the constitutions. He said, the means, well, let me just, oh man, there's so much here, I don't know where to truncate it to. The means of defense against foreign danger, okay, this is it, this will fit. The means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, we're talking thousands of years ago, among the Romans it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended, like in an election, they might throw an administration out. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. That was said in 1787 during the convention. And then just one other quotation that Madison said towards the end of his life. He said, no nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. We have never had, that's the end of the quote, we have never had a constitutional war in my entire life. Every moment of my life has been under the guise of war, under some unconstitutional process, whether it's some kind of military authorization act that's formally passed, weapons of mass destruction in defense, quote-unquote, of some other nation, demanded by the United Nations, participated in by NATO, you know, the Bosnian nonsense, every time, CETO, Southeast Asian Treaty Organization.
What they do is they allow the president to get into a war, which he has no authority to do. And then they basically come back and say, well, we have to fund it because our troops are in harm's way. And what they do is they violate the checks and balances or the separations of power, and then they obliterate that and then use that as their excuse that they have to continue and they have to fund it. How dare we not fund your children in harm's way? And they literally betray you. But every time it starts with a violation of the checks and balances, Doctor, that's how we get into these messes in the first place. If it had to go to the Congress, had to go to the purse strings, had to go to the people, had to, you know, really be vetted as we normally do. Hey, what are we doing there? What's the issue? What do we want to get done? Let's put rules of engagement in place. Let's decide how we're going to get there, what we're going to do when we're there, how we're going to get home. You know, if we had to kind of talk through all that and do all those things, the people would choose not to go to war 9 times out of 10 or more because the people understand how evil it is. The problem is they deceive the people and they violate these checks and balances to get there in the first place. And once we're there, they claim how hard it is to get out, right?
Well, that's absolutely the problem. And St. George Tucker talked about this, about the fact that it isn't our war. He said, well, let me just find this here. The personal claims of the sovereign, okay, this would be whether it's Biden excuse me, or the Congress that is beating the war drums that have been bought and paid for by the Israeli lobby. Okay, so anyway, are confounded with the interests of the nation over whom he presides. And his private grievances or complaints are transferred to the people who are thus made victims of a quarrel in which they have no part until they become principals in it by their sufferings. See, this isn't our monkey. We don't have a dog in this fight. It's the only way. I mean, what you're talking about, Sam, is, well, we've got to support the troops. The best support the troops can get is if we don't put them in harm's way to begin with. We have boots on the ground in Syria. We have boots on the ground in Iraq. We have boots on the ground in Western Africa, Eastern Africa. We have boots on the ground in Israel. We have boots on the ground in Ukraine. We do. If you don't think we do, you are absolute fools. I'm sorry, people. You know, when John F. Kennedy discovered that we were actually losing people in Southeast Asia in 1963, he says, you know what, we're not going to kill any more Americans there. He says, how many have we lost? And it was something in the range, I don't remember exactly, something in the range of 75. He said, no, we're not going to lose Americans. We're going to pull this thing, we're going to pull the plug on this thing. Of course, he was assassinated shortly thereafter. And all of these things that killed Kennedy, I think, were a compilation of a whole bunch of people saying, well, you know what, he's upsetting the apple cart. Whether it was the CIA or the Mafia or the Cuban communists or whomever you're going to blame for his assassination, everybody played a game in it, I think, including LBJ. But at any rate, we have become dupes and fools under the lobby that's asking us, demanding that we go to war on behalf of Israel and Ukraine. And, I mean, you pick a fight somewhere, weapons of mass destruction, pack of lies in Saddam Hussein's world. I mean, always going to attack us. He couldn't get a Piper Cub in the air without us shooting it down, without us knowing about it, without us being interdicted, anything. We were duped. Fools and dupes is what we've become with this warmongering leadership that we've currently got. And people just dying to get people killed. And they're not going to die, but the people they send will. And our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
And that's why armchair quarterbacks that don't have to take the heat shouldn't be the ones to decide. And that's why our founding fathers put it in the most broad place they could, which is the House of Representatives, closest to the people, because they wanted this to be debated and discussed and understood and wholly realized, hey, is this something that we have to do? And if it's something that we have to do, put the justification before the whole world that we're doing this. And that's the problem. We aren't doing those things, and therefore we get into these never-ending unconstitutional wars. My headlines for this basically says this. Attack on Israel raises fear of a wider war. How would our founding fathers respond? We reject unconstitutional immoral war. We advocate to simply follow the Prince of Peace. There are ways to avoid this. There are ways to stay out of it. And that's exactly what we, the people, need to put serious our Congress critters to do. Don't you dare advocate your responsibility to the president. Don't you dare move forward with war. Let's discuss this. Let's openly speak about it. And if you had enough Americans double down and speak out against unjust war, immoral war, and stand with the Prince of Peace like we're doing on the radio today, we could stop it. We simply could stop it.
By the way, we do
get engaged enough to do so. That's the question, right?
Well, here's, I mean, this, there's broader, I mean, ramifications to this. Literally, we have been sending so many 155-millimeter artillery rounds to Ukraine. We're like 8 years behind in our production schedule for those for our own uses. And yeah, we're ramping up the production of them. But let's say we get another regional war. Let's say that they decide to swim the Formosa Straits there and Taiwan gets engaged with Red China. We got a 7,000-mile supply chain. We can't even fight a little dinky thing right now in a constrained basis. This could blow up and we're at real risk.
Amen to that. We pray it doesn't happen. That's all I can say, Dr. Bradley. Thank you so much. Founding father-esque understanding is critical to bring forward a modern day as we literally stand with them in the sacred cause of liberty. We advocate the rejection of immoral and constitutional unjust war, and we recommend we follow the Prince of Peace and the Founding Fathers' clear directive to avoid foreign entanglements. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the supreme law of our land, which gives us plenty of guidance of what to do in these situations. Let's simply follow it, shall we? FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's site. God save the Republic of the United States of America.